See everyone tonight. Thank you very much for being here. And if you are visiting with us, we certainly appreciate your presence here tonight. A number of years ago in Dallas, Texas, a man said he was growing older that he often prayed this prayer, "Lord, help me to not stop living before I die." And by that, I believe he meant, help me not to quit. Help me not to give up. Help me not to sit down and become useless. And I think that is a worthy goal for all of us, to not stop living before we die. In John 10, in verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So here is one of those significant "I have come" or "I came" statements that we have in the Gospels. And Christ came so that people might have life, and he says to have it abundantly. Now, this abundant life is spiritual in nature. It is not to be confused with the health and wealth gospel. And I believe the application of true Christianity and the principles taught by Jesus Christ will enable us to live until we die. And I want us to think about the following principles that may help us to live that abundant life. Number one, count your blessings. We've just sung about that tonight. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Psalm 103, verse 2 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits." And if you read that 103rd Psalm, you'll see a number of the benefits that the psalmist mentions to his readers that he does not want them to forget. And so that is something that I think is important for all of us, is to step back and count our blessings. I guess I will never forget when Stinson Carpenter was here one time and he was talking about his son. And he said, "Alan, you know, I am thankful for Velcro." "You are?" He said, "Yes. Because my son can now tie his own shoe." Count your blessings. Never know what might be a blessing, you know, to someone. But that's always has stuck with me, that I thank God for that, because that enables my son to do something. Number two, we need to learn to live one day at a time. I think Jesus' statement here in Matthew 6, verse 34 is very powerful as he's concluding his section on worry and anxiety. So he says, "Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Amen? Each day has enough trouble, and each day has enough opportunities, you know, of its own as well. But learning to live one day at a time. Now, Jesus is not against us doing some planning and planning for the future, but he does not want us to be worrying about tomorrow, what's going to happen tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself, he said, because each day has sufficient trouble of its own. So I think that is an important principle for all of us, to try to learn to take it one day at a time. Number three, the old expression, sometimes we've got to learn to let go and let God. There are times when that may be what we have to do. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, the writer says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight." So there's two powerful verses there from Proverbs chapter 3, where the writer is encouraging us, Solomon is encouraging us to trust in the Lord. How much? With all of our heart. Do not merely lean on your own understanding, but in how many ways? In all your ways. And I think sometimes that is the challenging part of that verse. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. But the promise is that He will direct your paths. He will make your paths straight. And sometimes I believe that involves letting go and letting God have control of a particular situation. Number four, we've got to be a giver and not a getter. Acts chapter 20, verse 35, Paul is almost concluding his speech to the Ephesian elders at the little seaport town of Miletus. Paul, in that speech, talks about his past, he talks about the present, he talks about the future. But he challenges them here in verse 35, "In everything I showed you that by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that He Himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." And so we must learn to be a giver and not just a getter. Now, sometimes we've got to be on the receiving end, and that's okay. But Jesus is reminding us that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Number five, we need to look for the good in everyone. Now, sometimes that's not always easy. Romans 12, verse 18 has an important principle, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Now, I've had to put that verse into practice a number of times in my life as I have dealt with a number of people throughout my ministry. And some of those folks were challenging. And what I had to remind myself is that, Alan, as far as possible, as far as it depends upon you, you do everything within your power to be at peace with every individual that you meet. You do everything that you possibly can do. And I think that's what Paul, I don't always have control over what that other person is going to say, what that other person is going to do. What I can control is my response to that person who may be in sometimes lashing out in some ways. So if it's possible, as much as it depends upon you, try to be at peace with all people. Number six, we got to learn to focus on the things in life that are important. Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, Paul writes, "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ." So part of Paul's prayer is that their love will abound more and more in real knowledge and discernment, that they may approve the things that are excellent. And so I think that's the point I'm making here, is that we're trying to stay focused on the things that are important. Didn't include the verse, but I think that's really what Jesus had in mind in the verses just before the one I read from Matthew 6, verse 34, where Jesus said, "Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well." So certainly that is a way of our putting those first things first, seeking God's kingdom and His righteousness, focusing on the things that are really important. Number seven, we need to strive to stay positive. Sometimes that's not always easy in sometimes what seems to be a pretty negative world at times. Paul gave three things in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. I think all of these really, really require the best that we have within us. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And I think that song was appropriate too, Wayne, to pray in the morning, pray at the noontime, pray in the evening, pray all the time. And I think that's basically what Paul is encouraging us to do here, to pray without ceasing, to pray constantly. And then maybe the more difficult section here is that in everything give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Because we live this side of the greatest circumstance that has ever happened in the history of our world, the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ, then I believe that we indeed can give thanks in all circumstances. And Paul reminds the brethren there in Thessalonica that that is part of God's will for you. So we're going to strive to stay as positive as we can. Then number 8, we need to practice a sanctified kind of thinking. Philippians 4 verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything is worthy of praise, I want you to dwell, and some translations say, I want you to think on these things. And that's what I'm calling a sanctified kind of thinking. Thinking about those things that are honorable and right and pure and lovely and of good repute. And I think if we can do that, then I think that will help our actions as well. If we have that kind of thinking, I think that will translate into the right kind of actions. Number 9, we need to practice the do it now habit. Ecclesiastes 9 verse 10, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For there is no activity or planning or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol where you are going. Paul kind of put it that whatever your hand finds to do, you do it with all your might, and you do your work as serving the Lord and not men. And so I believe that is the principle here. We've got to go ahead and do those things and do our work with all of our might, do our work heartily. Remember that we are serving the Lord. So whatever you're doing, whatever I'm doing, we are all serving the Lord. And I think if we will do it in that way, and I think if we will develop that kind of habit, then I think we'll make a difference in this world. Number 10, we got to learn to laugh and cry. Romans 12, Paul said, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. I don't know which of those is the most challenging for you, but certainly when something good happens, we rejoice. But when something difficult happens, we also feel that pain as much as we humanly can. And so I think it's important that we learn to laugh, but we also learn, you know, to cry. And we all know the shortest verse in the Bible, don't we? Anybody quote that one? Jesus wept. John 11:35. I get a kick sometimes at my nursing home things. I'll say, does anybody know a verse in the Bible? Yes. John 11:35. Jesus wept. But I tell you what, that verse contains a lot of emotion. Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus. And he wept when he saw the weeping that was going on. He wept, you know, with them. And sometimes that's maybe all we can do. I think I've shared it before, and I'm getting to the point where I share something and I say, oh no, I've shared that many times. But one of the stories that's always struck me is the little boy who goes over and is with his neighbor. His neighbor's just lost his wife, and he's sitting there with him for a good bit of time. And once he comes back home, his mom said, well, what did you say to him? She said, Mom, I didn't say a thing. I just helped him cry. I just sat there on his lap and we cried together. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And I want to tell you, real men cry. If Jesus Christ wept, and there was not a more real man, greater man that has ever lived on the face of this earth, and if he were willing at times to let that emotion out, then certainly there are times when we need to do that as well. So learning to do both of those, I think, is important if we're going to live that abundant life. I think number 11, we need to conquer our fears. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9, and God says this about three times, you know, to Joshua. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And I'm sure those were some words that Joshua really needed at this point, because he is now following in the steps of Moses. Joshua opens by God saying, Joshua, Moses is dead. Now it's time for you to take over the leadership. And I'm sure that was a little bit daunting for Joshua. And I think that's why some three times in that first chapter, God tells Joshua, do not be afraid. You be strong. You be courageous, because I am going to be with you wherever you go. And that same promise is made to every one of us. That is a promise that we see repeated a number of times in the Bible, that God has promised that He's going to be there with us. And I think that is the one main thing that can help us to conquer our fears. And then finally, we need to anchor our lives to the eternal. Matthew chapter 7, as Jesus is bringing to a close the Sermon on the Mount, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. We sung about that anchor tonight as well. Will your anchor hold in the storms of life? We have to anchor our lives to the eternal. We've got to anchor our lives to the firm foundation of Jesus Christ and His Word. And that's what He's reminding His readers there in Matthew chapter 7. Now, I hope this hasn't come across as just a bunch of pop psychology, because I really believe that these are some principles of Christ and His soul-saving gospels. I believe that these are some things that can help us to do what Jesus said He came to do. I came that you might have life, and have life to the fullest, to have and to live an abundant, full life. That's one of the reasons, one of the purposes for Jesus coming to this earth. Well, do you need to anchor your life to the eternal tonight? Is anyone here tonight need to respond to the gospel of Christ? If you haven't obeyed Him through faith, repentance, baptism, so that you can have your sins forgiven, the Lord adding you to His spiritual family of the church, we would encourage you to take that decisive step, because that is the beginning of your building your life on the eternal. But if you need to come back to Him, if you need the prayers of the congregation to reconnect your life to the eternal, we're here to pray with you, to pray for you. And so if there's any way that we can help you, serve you tonight, we encourage you to let us know, as together we stand and sing our song of encouragement.